This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
It is 4 minutes past midday. You're on Joy's very own show about pets, Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home. I'm Kevin, and joining me in the studio today is the lovely Kate. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Kevin.
I've been here for a while.
A whole 2 weeks. Oh, it's good to be back.
It is good to have you back. Thanks to Jim for the news and to the fabulous Leo for delivering another morning of fantastic tunes. Now, if you're listening to this at work, you might be chomping down on your lunch, or maybe you're typing an email. Chances are you've only left your desk once or twice today, and only for a brief time, maybe to the photocopier, to grab a coffee, or to the fridge.
Compared to other sectors, office workers are one of the most sedentary occupational groups, and as a result are quite often in risk of some serious health problems.
Okay, we're both pretty bad at this one. I know. We were just talking before about how both of us tend to spend a fair bit of time at our computers.
And we absolutely do. Yeah, I actually bring my lunch in so I don't have to leave my desk for too long to go and buy something. I prefer to make it in the morning so I can eat it at my desk.
Yeah, no, I have it in the fridge and then just pick it up and then walk back to my desk.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I try and get out as much as possible now because, you know, I'm starting to realise the benefits of getting out and exercise as well.
Because you do a regular walk sometimes, don't you, around the block?
Yes, yes, yeah. We have a thing in the office called Hot Lap, which is to try and get out there. I always make sure I walk to the coffee shop in the morning as well.
Yeah, that's good. I see you there often.
That's a good walk.
I drive, but you
drive.
Walk.
I walk. Yeah. So, it is pretty good, and it is pretty hard.
It is, yeah. But, you know, one thing that can help you get moving, even well, we can do it probably a little bit at work, we're a bit fortunate, but if you're not at work and you're at home, your pets. Pet owners, we know that our dogs and cats help us get up and stay active. Exactly 1 week, we'll be holding a really special event at Flagstaff Gardens.
Yes, we did mention it on Leo's program before. It is called the Human Walking Program.
That's right.
Kate, why don't you give us a bit of a brief summary?
Well, we're very excited about this. The idea is to get office workers, CBD office workers, away from the desk at lunchtime to take a break, you know, forget about their deadlines and come down to Flagstaff Gardens and meet one of our dogs up for adoption. And they can either take them for a walk and enjoy, you know, the simple pleasures of just walking a dog and getting to know a dog. Or if, you know, if you've got your high heels on and you don't think you can just walk, then you can sit and meet and just chill out with one of our dogs in our special area where they'll be all... a fenced off area where they can be safely contained, I guess.
So we're going to have some dogs up for adoption there. We'll also have some dogs that have already been adopted are adopted and adored. My dog Sprocket's going to be there. Cinder's going to be there.
I've got my foster dog buddy
is going to be there looking for a home. We've got Axel coming down. We've got lots of dogs going to be there. Mm. And we'll have some demos as well with some dog dancing and things like that. So, yeah, definitely keep an ear out. We'll cover that a bit more in the news wrap. Now, on Pets Allowed today, we are whacking on our sweatbands and encouraging office workers to get out of their cubicles and get active with an adopted companion animal. Now, we want to hear from you. You know, maybe you work in an office. Do you own a pet? Tell us how your pet keeps you active. If you've got any creative suggestions, we'd love that as well. You can SMS 0427 at joy949, email onair at joy.org.au, or find us on Twitter at Lost Dogs Home. Coming up on the show today as well, our producer Oz caught up with Professor David Dunstan from Baker IDI Heart and Diabetes Institute, also Vic Health, to find out exactly how long office workers are spending their time sitting and progressive ways employers are getting their workers up and out of their cubicles.
And we'll also be looking at the mutual benefits of exercise for you and your pet and creative ways that you can stay active. And if it's a rainy day, don't let that dampen your motivation to exercise with your pet. Kevin will give you some tips on what to do at home when it's a wet day outside.
We're also going to hear the second installment of the Sprocket Diaries. He is adopted and adored. So, but stick around. We've got our news wrap coming right up after we hear from Darren Hayes with Stupid Mistakes. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Missed your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast. The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. I am Kevin, and joining me in the studio is the lovely Kate. Aww. And we're talking all throughout the program today about exercise and your pets.
Exactly.
Great topic. Time for the news wrap, though, and we've had a story come through. If you're on our Facebook page, you would have seen that over the weekend of the gorgeous Archie. Late last year, 5-year-old Moggy Archie was hit by a car and he was left fighting for his life on the side of the road. He was critically injured and his future was bleak at best. However, his story is one of extreme resilience and determination. And how he came into the Lost Dogs Home, we called him Eggs when he was originally here at the Lost Dogs Home. He was brought into our North Melbourne shelter. He had a dislocated and fractured jaw, a paralysed front leg and was covered in scratches and bruises. He went through surgery to wire his jaw back into place and was placed into foster care to recuperate. Now, his foster carer, Melissa, absolutely adored him. And
she loved him so much.
Now, unfortunately, his leg needed to be amputated just because there was a bit of an issue with that. He wasn't able to regain movement of it, so it had to be amputated. Now, whilst browsing the home's website during Christmas, Jenny was moved by Archie's story and admired his courage. She'd recently lost her beloved 10-year-old cat, Tess, and was beginning to feel it was time to welcome a new companion into her life. So she came down to our North Melbourne shelter, visited Archie at Eggs, he was known at the time, met him and absolutely fell in love with him. She loved that she could just wander through at her own pace and get to meet all the cats. She chatted to the Tom's adoption staff about him and also, you know, about how to look after a cat that had an amputated leg. And they are absolutely in love now. Yeah, she is doting on him. He's perfectly fine with only his three legs. He loves running around the house. He loves playing.
Yeah. I think he runs to the door to meet them when they come home. So, yeah, he doesn't realise he's lost a leg, I don't
think. Right. He was a bit of an older cat as well. Yeah. So, you know, she absolutely thinks, you know, choosing to adopt an adult cat is fantastic. Yeah. So you can check out his story online on our website at dogshome.com. Now, as we mentioned earlier, we have a special event coming up, Kate.
We do. So, yeah, we mentioned it before, the Human Walking Program, which is being held at the Flagstaff Gardens next Friday. So this time next Friday we'll be in the thick of it.
We'll be an hour and 15 minutes into the program.
Yeah, so it's between 11 and 2 o'clock in the Flagstaff Gardens, and we'd love, you know, people who are working in the city, feeling a little bit penned in their cubicle or, you know, chained to their desk, to, you know, take a break at lunch and come down to the Flagstaff Gardens and meet some of our dogs for adoption. We'll have probably about 10 to 15 dogs down there that can be walked. But if you don't feel like walking, you can actually just sit with one of our dogs and have a chat, have a pat. They'll be willing to receive lots of pats and scratches, I'm sure. But you can also talk to our volunteers who will be with all the dogs about adoption, about the individual dogs. And walking them, they'll always be up for a walk, and it's a great way to de-stress and just, you know, take some time out. And, you know, often our mind goes wandering when we're walking with our dog, and you stop and, you know, smell the roses or the trees or whatever. So we really encourage people to come down. And, you know, it might be actually quite busy because we're actually getting quite a lot of interest, which is fantastic.
People are loving the program.
They really think it's a great idea. So we actually have invited a lot of people who have already adopted from the Lost Dogs Home to bring their dogs down as well, so that you can meet them and chat to them about, you know, how they enjoyed the adoption program or the process of adopting, settling their dogs in, and how awesome shelter dogs are. And also we'll have, it's Beatbox Burgers will also be
there. Yes, Beatbox Burgers are going to be there.
So you can actually eat while you're down there, being lunchtime and all.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Our fantastic ambassador, Mike Larkin, will be down there as well, emceeing the day.
Yes, and he'll be doing his Give a Dog a Home segment from the Flagstaff Gardens during the event as well. So we're really excited and we'd love people to come down. So Flagstaff Gardens, Friday the 4th, which is next Friday, 11 to 2 p.m.
You can also visit our website to find more details about that as well. Now, every week we do like to do this.
This week's Pet of the Week.
It's time for this week's Pet of the Week. And, you know, we are talking about exercising your dogs, so we've got to kind of not be biased and sort of show some love to the felines around. Now, Kate, we were just talking a bit earlier and we have a bit of an announcement to make as well.
We are.
You guys might remember that at the end of February, wasn't it, we did a couple of weeks of fee-waived adult cat adoptions because we just had too many cats. Yeah. Now, we saw a really successful event. We had over 100 cats adopted, adult cats adopted.
That was amazing. And some really lovely people coming in to adopt as well. It was great to see.
Now, we are going to have to do this again because, once again, we are absolutely chock-a-block full of cats in our North Melbourne shelter.
Particularly adult cats. Yeah, beautiful cats that are just waiting there for new homes. So, come the 1st of April, Kev.
Yes, starting Tuesday, which is the 1st of April, we're going to be offering fee-waived adult cats over 6 months. You have to complete our pet licence test and ensure that you are allowed to have cats in your residence if you're renting or if you own your own home and everything like that. But we will be putting some more details up about that on Tuesday, so make sure you take an eye out on our Facebook page, which is The Lost Dog Zone. But we do need to mention a lovely cat this week, which is Ramsey.
Ramsey's. Unfortunately, we can't have cats down at the Human Dog Walking Program, but
they might not like it at all.
No, but Ramsey's is at our North Melbourne shelter. He's a beautiful...
She.
She. Sorry, and I'm looking at her going, you're a tortoiseshell, so you must be a she. She's a tortoiseshell with a lovely white front and white face, cat. She's a little bit mature. She's 8 years old. She's actually been with us for quite some time too.
Yeah, she has. She's been looked over a lot, which is generally because of the age.
And she's. I don't think she's sort of outgoing to begin with. She's a little bit standoffish.
She has a bit of a mean-looking face as well.
I was just going to say, it doesn't flatter her. No, yeah. So Ramses is a beautiful, and we describe her as a stately cat as well, and she's quite affectionate when she gets to know you. She loves being patted and is particularly fond of receiving a good scratch behind the ears, or under the chin probably too.
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah, she's got a warm, because her face is white, she has got a pink nose, so she'd be better indoors so that she doesn't get out in the sun and get, be susceptible to skin cancers. She has a longer coat, so a regular brush would be great to keep her from being tangled. And unfortunately, she's not a great fan of other cats, so she will have to be your one and only cat. But she's at our North Melbourne shelter. Her identification number is 963-988. For more information, you can visit our website at dogshome.com, or you can contact the shelter on 9329-2755.
You can also check her out on our Facebook page as well. Now, coming up, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Dunstan from Vic Health and Baker Institute IDI about office workers and how much time they are actually spending their desks. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. You're on Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9 with the Lost Dogs Home. And all throughout the program today, we are encouraging office workers to get out and about and get active with their companion animal or adopting a companion animal. Now, office workers in Australia are one of the largest single occupational groups, with more than 12% of all Australian workers employed in offices.
And according to a study put out by Vic Health, office workers are among occupations that spend the most amount of time sitting and are, as a result, within risk of, some serious health problems. Our producer, Oz, caught up with Professor David Dunstan from the Baker IDI Heart and Diabetes Institute and Vic Health to find out exactly how long those of us in offices spend time just sitting.
Oz starts off here by asking Professor Dunstan what a typical day entails for office workers.
Well, I think a common feature of the average office worker is the reliance on a computer to undertake the work. And as we engage with the computer, we are predominantly in a sitting position. And we've been able to ascertain this by using devices such as accelerometers to record the amount of time spent sitting in office workers. And when we actually ask the office workers to wear this over their average 8-hour day, what we have identified is that up to 80% of the workday can essentially be spent sitting. So that's just over six hours of the day essentially spent sitting. So there is a high amount of sitting that takes place in the workplace for an office worker.
That's incredible, 80% of the time. So, I mean, anyone that's currently listening to us at the moment will know that's working in office. Some days you just get in and the only reason why you'd get up is perhaps to go to the photocopy machine, perhaps to the kitchen to grab your lunch, but then you're back sitting down at your cubicle, really.
Yeah, and I guess the other worrying part of that is that of that sitting time, around about 25% of that is spent in chunks that are longer than 30 minutes, and exactly what you just mentioned, that we're not having those frequent breaks throughout the day.
So we know that this isn't good for our health, but how does it actually impact on our well-being, short-term and long-term?
People who sit for higher amounts have a more adverse health profile. There is an increased risk of overweight and obesity, increased risk of type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, some cancers, and also what we have seen in some studies recently, that the risk of premature mortality or early death is substantially increased in people who spend long hours sitting. When we sit, we actually are not using those large muscles, particularly of the lower limbs, the legs. And when we get up and move, the muscles have to contract, and when we actually are walking, they're contracting substantially more than when we're sitting, and which is very important for, maintaining blood flow and many of the body's regulatory processes.
So what would you say a healthy workplace would look like then?
Well, what we are starting to see is some very proactive workplaces making changes to their to their workplace environment to be more conducive to allowing physical activity or movement throughout the day that's moving beyond just the open office plan, but creating the environment where people have to get up off their chair, as you mentioned earlier, get up off their chair and go and talk to colleagues and collaborate with colleagues in a more like a neighbourhood type workplace environment, which is, you know, we've moved beyond just the office of everybody to the open plan, but now we're starting to see it move towards these neighbourhood type arrangements.
So just in terms of some tangible examples, I mean, are there some creative ways that people are conducting meetings, for instance?
Yeah, well, I guess the important thing is that some of the changes that can take place in a workplace are virtually no cost. And you mentioned one is to consider a standing meeting. And what there is some evidence already showing that standing meetings are shorter meetings for people, but you know, in conducting walking type meetings as well. For instance, moving bins away from personal desks so that people have to go to a central location. There's various little strategies that could be undertaken, and the Hart Foundation has really articulated this in a recent consumer document. Various tips that are virtually no cost. Of course, to get more change, some offices are moving towards employing height adjustable work desks so that people can work in a seated or a standing posture. And the benefit of this is that people are not locked into one posture to undertake their work. What we see is that when people are practicing a positive behaviour such as, you know, working in a standing position or walking meetings, it is infectious.
You're tuned into Pets Aloud, and all throughout today's program we are talking about getting out and active. We're currently joined on the line by Professor David Dunstan, who was a part of the report Reducing Prolonged Sitting at the Workplace by Vic Health. Now, we know that a lot of workplaces are actually incorporating pets into their daily work environments. I know Vic Health have a Dog Friday where staff are allowed to bring their dogs along to reap the benefits of having a dog in their presence. What are your thoughts about that?
I think this is a wonderful initiative, and you know, not for from simply the companion sort of ship during the work day, but that it provides essentially a prompt for getting up off that chair. That dog needs to, you know, get out and walk about as well on a frequent basis throughout the day. So I think it's just a wonderful initiative.
And just generally speaking, how do you think pet ownership benefits the health of people working in offices?
Well, we just highlighted that, you know, in a typical day, more than 6 hours of the day essentially can be spent sitting in the workplace. So when we're outside the workplace, in our home setting, we need to look at ways in which we can incorporate more activity. And I think there's no better way than getting out there and, you know, walking with your favourite pet or on a regular basis is likely to lead to many health benefits.
Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to have a chat with us, Professor David Dunstan.
Thank you very much.
G'day, this is Mike Larkin, Weather Guy, Channel 10. Best thing about being the weather presenter, you can be wrong and still get paid. But more importantly, we love listening to Pets Aloud every Fridays from noon.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
Here on Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9, we lost dogs home, and I'm Kevin, and joining me in the studio is Kate. Before, we were hearing from Professor David Dunstan from the Baker IDI Heart and Diabetes Institute and also Vic Health. Now, if you're interested in seeing some positive changes in your workplace, you know, think about things like walking or standing meetings, maybe going for a hot lap, which is just where you go out and sort of walk around the block.
The block, yeah, like you do, Kev.
Yeah. And of course, you can kickstart that conversation by coming down next week to Friday, on Friday to Flagstaff Gardens for our human walking program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, we are talking about getting active, considering to adopt maybe if you're interested, or you might have dogs already, how you're getting active with them.
And if you've been a regular listener of Pets Aloud, you'll know that we frequently talk about the benefits of being a pet over, and particularly adopting a pet.
Now, Kate, it is pretty obvious to spot a dog owner. Oh,
absolutely.
You can generally tell these. Usually their favourite colour is dog hair, especially with their clothes.
That's right. In fact, we consider it a really important accessory, dog hair, you know, in the car, on our clothes, everywhere in the house.
Maybe if you come to the house and you don't like dog hair, then really you shouldn't, shouldn't come to the house.
That's all. Right. Also a healthy glow because we're out and about all the time exercising or walking.
They can sometimes be pretty sociable because they're, you know, easy to start up a conversation with strangers and just get talking.
And I find dog walkers are some of the nicest people, you know, lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think if you own a dog, you're a really kind, empathetic person.
And the sense of adventure.
Yes.
You know, we love getting outdoors and seeing new things. And now, look, these are huge generalizations. And again, there are some truths in there as well. But, you know, there is one thing to remember, though. Just because you don't have a dog doesn't mean you're a cat person.
No. And you can be both as well. You can have a dog and have a cat.
Or maybe you've got a lizard. You might have a different type of animal. There are plenty of people out there. Or a rabbit or something.
I guess along the short, pets enrich our lives, don't they?
They do. Now, the benefit of exercising is mutually beneficial for dogs and their owners.
All dogs need daily exercise. A large dog should, you know, ideally be walked probably twice a day, and smaller dogs probably need a little bit less. But really, it kind of depends on your dog and what they need. I mean, you can judge that yourself, but definitely out once a day would
and
be great.
And some dogs prefer like mental stimulation rather than the physical stimulation. I mean, I've got a border collie and I know it's better to do some training with her or do some stuff with her that's going to require her to think rather than just running her for a while, because that's definitely gets her more tired.
That's right. And I know that my dogs, they love their walk, but what really interests them is smelling things. And even though I do quite often the same walk, they go to the same trees.
Lots of new smells. If it's been raining, there's been a whole bunch of different things that have mixed up.
Yeah, they want that dog's weed on that one last.
There's also some benefits to you know, free running and everything like that. So taking him to off-lead dog parks. So there's areas like Travancore. There's some in, you know, Footscray. There's a whole bunch of different ones around. There's one in North Melbourne right near us.
Yeah.
Exercising physically is great, but also stimulating those senses as well. Now, a dog who isn't regularly consistently exercised can have a higher risk of obesity and health risks associated with being overweight. Early arthritis, painful joints, especially the larger dogs as well.
And also dogs that aren't exercised, I guess stimulated as well mentally, they can be more destructive. So they're more likely to chew on your clothes, things out in the backyard, dig holes in your backyard, and just generally be destructive.
They can also be hyperactive. Yeah. Maybe they're a bit too excitable. Maybe at nighttime they're sort of running around the house going crazy. They don't want to go to bed.
They jump up and down on you all the time. Yeah.
Oh, they jump on your furniture.
Yes, they can. I guess that's general unruliness, you know. So that kind of makes them not as much of a pleasure to be around. So that's why exercising is so important. To stop them from, jumping on your furniture, jumping all around.
Yeah. There is that sort of saying that, you know, a tired dog is a good dog. Very happy dog. They might have, you know, sort of excessive predatory behaviour, social play, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of different things that come. But benefits of exercise for your dog, Kate, what are some of the benefits?
Well, it helps eliminate some of those common behaviour problems that we just discussed, really, you know, such as digging, maybe excessive barking and chewing and hyperactivity. They really need to get out, have their brains stimulated, feel tired, and then they come home and they're generally quite happy to sleep for a little bit after that.
Like us, they're healthy, they're agile, they're limber, they like getting out there and exercising, their fitness levels are higher.
And they probably feel better. And also like us, you know, if we're fit and active, our digestive tract is healthy too. So we probably don't, you know, have problems like constipation and things like that. So dogs are the same.
It can help timid or fearful dogs build confidence and trust, so they know that, you know, they can trust you in what you're doing.
And it helps them feel, you know, sleepy when we want them to feel sleepy, like coming, you know, a walk before bedtime or, as you know, before we go off to work, so that they feel relaxed in their own home.
Now, it can also help them keep their weight under control, just like us as well, but that's also about feeding too. Yeah. But look, if it is not the right time to adopt for you, there are other options. You can come and volunteer at the Lost Dogs Home. You can walk dogs.
That's right.
There's foster care options available.
Yeah, get your dog fixed through that as well, and that's short-term care, so, you know, you can trial owning a dog, or if you know you travel a lot and can't make that full-time commitment, it's a great option. But volunteering is also, you get to handle the dogs regularly.
You can find more information on our website, which is dogshome.com, or give our volunteer coordinator a call on 9329 2755. You're on Pets Lab with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout the program today, we're talking about how owning a pet helps us stay active and healthy. Now, while walking your dog regularly is great, you can also get a little bit creative in the way that your dog gets their exercise as well. There are lots of different options out there. There's a variety of activities, isn't there, Kate?
There is, yeah. There's lots of things you can do. That you could take them swimming. You know, you go take a trip up to Warrandyte, or sometimes some areas of the Yarra are good to swim in. You can play catch or frisbee, enroll them in dog obedience, and, you know, just general training in the park as well, you know.
Of course, this does depend on what your dog likes. They might just like going out for a walk every now and then, you know, that kind of thing every day.
Yeah, that's what I do with mine.
Yeah, no, that's why I was putting that out there. I mean, my dogs have a mix of everything. So, you know, you've got Cinder's got plenty of training, Sprocket's got training, but they also go for walks. They also play with each other in the backyard. There's plenty of exercise that happens in there as well. So it's really up to your dog.
And I take mine to different places sometimes. Look, when my kids do sport, so they go do sport and I'll take the dogs for a walk while they're doing that. So every now and then they have different smells and different areas to explore.
Now, Kate, there's a new sort of thing in personal training that seems to have started up recently, which is kind of personal training for you and your dog.
Now, I'm a regular attendee of personal training. I do enjoy my personal training. So I can't imagine doing it with my dogs, but, you know, many people do love it. I can imagine I'd get lots of licks and, you know.
I was just going to say, Michelle in the office, who is also a qualified personal trainer, has the same thing. She's like, I don't even know how you would do this, because she has two big dogs. She has a Golden Retriever and a Labrador. And she would be like, they'd be all over me. There is no chance I'd be able to exercise.
I'd be doing push-ups and, you know, someone would be right there with me.
I've had that before.
Yeah. Anyway, the group is Barks Active, and they organise regular group activities, including dog walks and hikes, as well as the personal training. And they've got a hike coming up at Hepburn Regional Park. That's on Sunday, the 1st of June, 2014. It starts at 10 a.m. and they'll be hiking from Lake Dalesford to Bryce's Flat along the river, returning along the other side of the river. It should take about 3 hours, and they suggest that all dogs and humans should be used to walking regularly and at a moderate pace for at least an hour, and that's on flat terrain. And it costs $20 to join that hike, which sounds like a lot of fun. I'd like to do that.
You need to make sure that your dog is going to enjoy it, that they're going to be able to walk for that long. So it's like with any exercise, I guess. Don't
like
just
start
off with a three-hour run. No. Think about, you know, working up to that as well.
That's right.
There are also some dog sports out there. So dog dancing, flyball, tracking, those are all things that will sort of get your dog exercising as well as stimulating their mental, their mind as well.
Exactly.
Kate, some games down at the park.
As we mentioned before, just those good old typical games that you play with your dog. You can throw a ball there, you know. Most retrievers will never tire of that. Good old fetch. The frisbee, if your dog likes to perhaps, you know, jump up and catch in midair. And, you know, invite some other friends along with their dogs and, you know, get them playing together. Dogs are great at exercising each other, and it's a good social thing to do for them and for you. Socialising and keeping them, you know, exposed to different dogs, different situations is really, really important.
As Kate mentioned earlier as well, dog obedience and training is there as well, which we'll be hearing a little bit about. JB went to his first training session with Sprocket. In the Sprocket update.
We're hearing about that. I can't wait, actually.
Yes.
I'm sure he starred. And then you can incorporate your dog into your exercise routine. I mean, I can't in PT, but when I had a Labrador many, many years ago, I used to run with my dog.
Loved
it.
I was going to say, I do a lot of exercise in the backyard and sometimes end up with, say, a 10-kilogram weight sitting on my lap whilst I'm doing some hip raises or something like that. It just is the way you have to do it. You just got to go for it. The push-up one is a hard one because when they get right under you, you don't want to squish them. They're trying to lick your face. Yeah. But, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Coming up on Pets Allowed, we're going to look at some things to do if the weather is not that great outside, and also get an update about how little Sprocket is going. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Do you know something?
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, even though it's pouring outside, your dog will give you those eyes that plead, please, let's just do something together. And you know that as a responsible pet owner, that they need their daily exercise. Thankfully, there are some other ways to get in their daily physical exercise without battling the rain, hail, or lack of daylight. Why not try a game of hide and seek? Now, you can either hide toys, treats, or yourself for this one. If you're using treats or toys, put your dog in the laundry or bathroom while you hide their favourite toys or treats around the house. when it's time to find everything, get them really excited, really revved up, and use the word seek. As they move around the house, they'll try and find and try and sniff out where everything is. Help them out a little bit at first, you know, show them where the item is, that kind of thing, just to make sure that they start to get the idea of what they're doing and get really excited for them when they find it. They'll quickly learn what seek means. Now, if you want to hide yourself, you might need your friend to help you out at the start. So get them to hold onto your dog whilst you hide, and then release your dog when you're ready. You might need to call them at first and encourage them to seek. Soon, you'll just be able to give them a command and they'll come and find you. Make sure that they get lots of praise and some big rewards with their favourite treat when they find you. There are a number of puzzling toys out there which you can get, and some are Kongs or Buster Cubes, and they can help really help with mental stimulation for your dog. What you do is you can put food or treats inside these toys, and what they'll have to try and do is try and get the food or treat out of the toy, and this can really take them a little while, and they'll really enjoy it. Another great thing to do when it's raining or cold is to do some training inside. And it's also a great way to enhance the bond between you and your dog. It actually helps keep them mentally and physically stimulated as well. So if you just do between 10 and 15 minutes of training, keep it all positive, it's usually enough. But in colder weather, you can increase this a little bit or do it in shorter blocks. So say do 10 or 15 minutes in the morning, then do it again late at night or after dinner or before dinner. So you should use a gentle, positive training method. Start off by going over the basics: sit, drop, shake hands, heel, spin, all those different kind of tricks that you can teach your dog, and it means that you have something to wow your friends with when they come over. Now remember, not all dogs will enjoy these activities the same as going for a walk. Getting outside really stimulates all of their senses, so it's important to do what's right for them. If it's raining only lightly, you can put a coat on your dog and a coat on yourself and just head out in the rain for a short walk.
Missed your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Sprocket, come here, boy. Good boy.
Sprocket has settled into our home really well. His toilet training has progressed. We haven't had any accidents for weeks. He's beginning to understand the routines of our household, and he's as affectionate as ever. Finally, he's able to get out and about after his vaccinations, so we've been able to start taking him for walks and socialising him with other dogs. One of the things we've learned very quickly is that Sprocket is a digger. Kevin gets home from work before I do, and unfortunately came home to a note from the neighbours telling us that we had a couple of escapees. For a couple of weeks there, we had Sprocket and Cinder under the fence going to visit the neighbour's dog. Kevin had to try a few strategies to combat this, including bricking up parts of the neighbour's fence, laying down wire, and giving Sprocket some more entertainment throughout the day to discourage his digging. He still partakes in a bit of digging around the yard, but thankfully we've managed to keep him away from the fence line. Whilst we were waiting for Sprocket to get through his vaccination wait period, we started some basic training at home. We've invested in a clicker and have been teaching him the basics of sitting on call and how to give and maintain eye contact with us. Eye contact and attention will be particularly important later on as we try to teach him more complex forms of training. He's developing well and showing good eye contact and sitting on command. I'm starting to see him do this without needing food as a reward or the clicker, so we're getting there. Sprocket and I attended our first obedience class at the weekend, and I'll admit, it was completely exhausting for both of us. There's so much to learn when starting out, and a lot of it is complete information overload. But thankfully, there were a number of other new dog trainers in our group, and we were all encouraged to learn at our own pace and the pace of the dog. The big learning curve was appropriate technique with Sprocket's lead and teaching him the correct heel position. The trainers specifically encouraged us to use positive reinforcement as much as possible and to train regularly. The one thing I'll definitely take with me was the piece of advice to not train if you've had a crappy day. The last thing you want is to take out your bad day on your dog and get frustrated with them. You want training to be a fun and positive experience for both you and the dog. It's been a really fun experience. I've had a very busy and stressful time outside of training, so training Sprocket has been nice to focus on something positive. But the key for me will be to not expect too much too soon and to learn at my own pace and at Sprocket's pace. He's really growing into a wonderful member of the family.
Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
You're on Pets Allowed. It is 3 minutes to one, which means we have reached the end of the program, but we are just going to cover a few different things off. Now, Kate, we just want to remind everyone about our human walking program.
Next Friday, the 4th of April, we'll be at the Flagstaff Gardens with about 10 to 15 dogs up for adoption, and we'd love to see you there. Come down, meet some of our dogs, take some of them for a walk. Also meet some of our adopted and adored dogs with their owners. So 11 to 2 p.m. next Friday, the 4th at the Flagstaff Gardens.
On Saturday, the 5th of April is the Derribin Shire Council Companion Animal Microchipping Day in Preston. It's between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and it's $25 for microchipping.
And then on Sunday the 6th of April, the weekend after this one, is Chip Checker. We'll be doing down at Wyndham City Council Pet Expo, checking people's microchips, so you can bring along your dog and we can scan it and tell you if your details are up to date or give you the register that your pet is registered with. That is at the Wyndham City Council offices at 45 Princess Highway, Werribee. The time is between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. That will be there, and that is a free service.
There are a couple of Brisbane events coming up as well at the end of April, so if you've got any friends up there, get them and check out the Pet Register website, which is petregister.com.au. You can find more information on the Human Walking Program on our website, which is dogshome.com. Now, our pet of the week this week is the gorgeous Ramses.
The Ramses is an 8-year-old tortoiseshell, lovely female cat, and she's at our North Melbourne shelter. For more information, you can check out our website at dogshome.com or our Facebook page. Her animal ID number is 963988.
Now, don't forget, we do podcast the show, so if you miss anything, check out the program page on the Joy website, which is joy.org.au. Come on down to the Human Walking Program next Friday. So Kate and I will both be there. Yep. So if you want to come down and say hi, we won't be on the show, but Oz and Alan will be on next week. And check that out at dogshome.com or find us on Facebook at The Lost Dogs Home. You've been listening to Pets Loud. Thanks to Oz for producing. Thanks to everyone for contributing to the show today. Thanks to Kate for joining me in the studio.
Thanks to you, Kev, as well.
That's all right.
Fun, as always.
And as always, don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
This has been Pets Loud.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.